It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
So that's Black Lives Matter in Georgetown. That is a suburb of Washington. It's all one big happy family. D.C. is not that big. And so, in fact, you pretty much see people all the time. D.C. is actually a very small town compared to Chicago, where I'm from, or certainly from New York City. And so Georgetown is a quadrant where this is Georgetown University, but it's also where luxury shopping takes place. It's where a lot of people who have money and means live. It's a beautiful place. It's actually a beautiful place. So Black Lives Matter decided that they would go through the streets there, the residential areas. These were residential homes. They're banging drums. You heard them. And they're shouting, you know, we're not going to leave you alone. You got to get up. We don't, you know, you're not going to sleep till we have peace. And so that's what they were doing. You already know that President Trump had to be asked to leave the platform during the press conference yesterday because there was a shooting attempted. Well, we don't know the details. We're waiting. We know one man was arrested. We know that he had a long rifle, and we know that he was shot. We know that he's not dead. But the president, in the middle of his press conference, was asked to leave the podium by the Secret Service. It was interesting to watch. The president was very calm. The Secret Service agent, you can see him from a couple of angles, depending on the camera shot or where, you know, the news outlet that you had. You can see him from different angles, and you can see him saying this. President looks at him. He's in the middle of talking, and he goes like, what? And you see the Secret Service agent say, well, there's a shooting outside the White House. And the president goes, oh. And he just walks off very casually off the podium, and then he is gone. I'm not sure how long he was gone for, but then he comes right back in and picks up the press conference. And of course, the press goes, you know, ape. Weren't you nervous? Why? Did you think about not coming back? And of course, I didn't. I'm in a press conference. We have to finish. And so he just jumped right in. Pretty, you know, nerves of steel. Pretty amazing stuff, I think. And so he was unhurt. But meanwhile, the point I'm trying to make by playing the Georgetown clip is that there is unrest all over, and it is close to the president right now. I'm going to tell you, if I have time later in the show, what's happening around the country, because, again, you might not be hearing this if you're not listening to or looking at the right outlets. A lot of it's from my reading or from my inbox. It's information I have about what's going around the country, not necessarily from television news. And so in Georgetown, they marched the neighborhoods, and also they went into neighborhoods, interestingly. I couldn't play this because there's so much vulgarity in it, but they're shouting in this bullhorn, as they love to do, and they're shouting at a group of, you know, Georgetown is a real stronghold for people that are gay. D.C. and the area has a way higher percentage of gay and lesbian people than I think probably, well, I don't know, but I would say as high as any place in the nation. They're just everywhere, and they live in these very plush neighborhoods because they have a lot of money. So this was one of them, and this Black Lives Matter group goes in with this bullhorn, and it's a a black trans, you know, black transgenderism is one of the big pushes. Lesbian, you know, mostly females who want to be men. They're really distinctive. That's one of their big goals, is that they have, should have rights. And so they're shouting through this bullhorn about their cis privilege and about how you sit there free because you won your battle for liberation, gay rights liberation. But how about trans black lives? How about, you know, you haven't done anything for us? That's basically what they're shouting. And then they get really vulgar and they say all kinds of ethnic, you know, slurs. You know, saying horrible things to LGBT persons, Black Lives Matter. That's how weird this has all gotten. And then they go at one point in another video, they are harassing people in a restaurant who are eating outside. And I wanted you to hear just a little bit of what that sounded like. Let's listen.
Black people are dying in the hands of the police. Black people are dying at the hands of the police, even on the time that you are dying.
So we ask you
to declare your loyalty.
If you believe
that Black Lives Matter. And I want to repeat this. If you believe not because you're just woke, you truly believe that you love Black people. I ask you to raise your fist up in the air. And look around you. The people that have not raised their fist. And ask the question. Why can you afford to stand in native land? And still be racist as f***?
And still think.
Still be a Becky.
And live off the death of black and brown people.
Particularly queer, trans, and non-binary.
It's okay. It goes on and on, and we could play. But now here's the thing: these people are dining, like you and I might be dining outside, having a lovely evening. And they come and shout and stand. Nobody stops them. And they make people raise their hands. If you don't raise your hand, then they single you out and look around and look at the people that haven't raised their hands. And the question was, if you love black people, you know, Black Lives Matter. And so you can imagine the difficult moral choices that people had to make. And most of them didn't make it. They stuck their hand up. And this is the kind of things happening on our streets. Meanwhile, we talked about the president. The shooting at the White House, it was the shooting of the guy who was the shooter. Beyond that, I don't really know yet, unless you've heard something this morning that I've missed. The Supreme Court, a vehicle was set ablaze down by the Supreme Court. It was a police vehicle. It was unmarked, and one person is in custody there. So that's just in D.C. There's a lot more, I know, going on there, but I just wanted you to know it's just dangerous. It's dangerous. It's dangerous around the country. And then that reminds me of California, because yesterday I told you about this pastor, Rob McCoy, who's the pastor of Godspeak Calvary Chapel in Ventura County. And we played quite a lengthy clip of him talking about how they are going to be opening this past Sunday. This is in advance. This is like Friday night. And how he knew they were breaking the law, but that they had no choice because the scripture is clear that we ought to obey God rather than man. And there is a point beyond which you cannot obey the rules of a draconian authoritarian figure who wants you not to worship, who says you cannot sing inside your building, who says you can't meet for worship at all. And so they did meet. Let's see. I believe this clip. I'm sorry. I'm getting a little confused. This clip was, I believe, the night before they met. And I wanted you to hear what he had to say. This, again, is Pastor Rob McCoy from Godspeak Calvary Church. Let's listen to clip 11.
10% of our population that has been tested in Ventura County, a little over 8,000, have been tested positive. Now, if you take those positive cases and, you know, you divide the number of deaths by that number, it works out to less than 1% of those who've tested positive have died from this. And so my point is simply this. We know that the lion's share, more than 70 of the tragic victims, are 65 and older with comorbidities. Nobody under 30 has died yet. We're at a point now where they've closed our schools. They've shuttered our businesses. 65% of our restaurants will never reopen again. They have devastated families financially. The emotional toll, they haven't even discussed that. And all the while that they've shut these businesses and they've devastated our economy, all the while with this pandemic that has the death rate that I've described, the worst case numbers, and having worked for AC Nielsen projected data, those numbers aren't going to change.
All right, so that's Rob describing, you know, he said no one's died of COVID here. No one's even come down with COVID in this church. And of course, now the governor says that they cannot sing, they cannot meet. And the latest is they had three services yesterday. Is this Tuesday? Sunday. They had three services on Sunday. And they usually run about 400 people on Sunday mornings, but they had 2,500 people. People came from all over to worship with them. And Rob very carefully in his video laid out, please, he said, please don't come to protest, to yell, to state your opinion. We're going to worship. We're going to preach the word, and we're going to sing. Then after that, it looks as though the local authorities are seeking court permission to beef up the restraining order and allow deputies to enter the church and stop the services. So I don't know if that's happened or not, but that is the update on that. And so, and also that Rob knows that he's in danger of being in jail. And the people that attended the service, I think up to 1,000, were supposed to be given these citations, which will be go against their record. And he explained to them, now this can have repercussions. Just understand, you know, if you're applying for law enforcement, if you want to get into school or whatever, it will go on your record. And so these are the kinds of things that are happening in California. I thought it was really interesting because Rob then went on to talk about a famous biblical character that is perfectly appropriate to allude to right now. I want you to hear what he had to say, clip 12.
Daniel chapter 6, the governors throng before the king, and the governors of the kingdom, the administrators, the counselors, advised and consulted together and established a royal statute to make a firm decree that whoever petitions God for 30 days will be cast into the den of lions. The king established the decree, signed it in writing so that it couldn't be changed according to the laws of the Medes and the Persians, and it wasn't to be altered, and King Darius signed it. And then they were basically saying, Daniel, you can't worship God. Daniel's response in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, after all of the counselors and the supervisors and whoever else decided to do this, the judge and Dr. Robert Levin after he left his winery. Now, Daniel says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home and in his upper room with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times and prayed that day and gave thanks before his God as was his custom since the early days. And the men assembled together, found Daniel praying, and they arrested him. And then, of course, we know he was thrown into the lion's den. He prayed. But what he did is he opened his window so he could make sure that the officials heard him praying. And we're gonna worship the Lord tomorrow. And we're gathering tomorrow to lift up the name of Christ. We're gathering tomorrow that those who long for liberty would come to the source of that liberty, and that's Jesus Christ. He's come that you would know the truth and the truth would set you free. Liberty is not man's idea, it's God's idea. And we're all enslaved to sin. We're all enslaved to vices, and we want to be free. Freedom is not to be able to find yourself enslaved to an addiction. Freedom is applying restraints towards evil in order to pursue excellence in the way in which God created you, which is this imago Dei. You've been created in the image of God. And to have a nation that will allow you that kind of freedom to be able to pursue these things where all men are created equal, where we protect the First Amendment of the freedom of speech, the freedom of the press, and yes, the freedom of religion, the freedom of the people to peaceably assemble.
All right, so that's just a bit of what Rob McCoy had to say the night before. They had services on Sunday, and now he's expecting, you know, more repercussions, more retributions. It's a wake-up call for pastors and for churches and for all of us. Stay tuned. More about this in just a minute. Sandy Rios in the morning.
Well, these are certainly tough, tough times, aren't they? Hi, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International, engaging the world with God's Word for more than 80 years at only $5 a Bible. You know, I'm grateful that God has given Bible League a platform for more than eight decades to address the other pandemic, and that's the shortage of Bibles all over the world in places like Asia, Africa, the Middle East, and Latin America. In fact, at Bible League, we determined that as few as one Christian in 10 has a Bible. What's that mean? That during this pandemic, many evangelical Christians elsewhere in the world cannot open their Bible and be reminded of God's promises, like 1 Peter 5:7, cast your cares on Him, for He cares for you. But you know, during this time of sheltering in place, we can shelter in grace. Learn how you can be a blessing to believers around the world praying for a Bible by visiting sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org, or by calling Bible League at 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for President Donald Trump. As president, he is responsible for our country's security, prosperity, and well-being, while also leading the cause of liberty and democracy around the world. Psalm 37, verses 30 and 31, reminds us that God works through our leaders. The mouths of the righteous utter wisdom, and their tongues speak what is just. The law of their God is in their hearts. Their feet do not slip. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for President Trump. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Wondering how you'll finish your degree now? At Liberty University, we want to help. So when you transfer into one of our more than 100 undergraduate online programs this fall, you could earn up to $3,600 in transfer student scholarships, or more if you live in Virginia. That means you could pay less than $900 per course and transfer in up to 75% of your degree. That's up to 90 credits. Save time and money at a school that's been helping students like you for over 30 years. Learn more by texting DEGREE to 49595. That's DEGREE to 49595.
Dunkin' Donuts workers across the nation have decided to no longer serve police officers, most recently in 44th, Pennsylvania and Des Moines, Iowa. Two workers there fired after telling an officer he would not be served because he was wearing a thin blue line ball cap. And a Chicago worker was fired after he spit into a cop's coffee cup. Dunkin' Donuts apologized profusely. They say the stores involved are franchises. And in Austin, Texas, a bicycle shop founded by Lance Armstrong says they'll no longer sell bikes to police departments. Mellow Johnny's Bike Shop terminated their contract with the local police department after a few employees complained. They took issue with the way police were using the bikes to block protesters in the streets. No doubt, another bicycle company will be more than happy to serve the Austin Police Department. Be sure to listen to my national radio show live noon to 3 Eastern or download the podcast at toddstarnes.com.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Packed in tightly, singing with uncovered faces.
Is it believe that God hears all their prayers?
Led by Charlotte Foyk, seen here in a Supersonics jersey, gathered steps away from her protests against police brutality, have continued in Seattle in the wake of George Floyd's death.
To just bring a blessing over the city that has gone through a lot of pain.
This man and his family are from Minneapolis.
So then I just continued with them to Portland and Seattle.
This woman is from D.C. and said she attended previous Let Us Worship rallies, including this one in Portland. Gathering, she said, started in opposition to California's coronavirus worship restrictions.
When I was out at the protest for Black Lives Matter, I didn't really get much backlash on not wearing a mask, but now that I've been out at worship events, I do get more backlash on not wearing a mask.
The group catching the attention of others.
Jesus!
With the crowd at one point shouting Jesus as this man held a sign.
I mean, ultimately, a large gathering of people is a large gathering of people, right? And the same rules apply there or here. You know, in the protests with our medics, we're always handing out masks and hand sanitizer.
This person said they handed out masks here too, that some took, others didn't.
It's very disheartening and frustrating to have people come into our community and potentially be bearing disease.
We say we understand that they hold a different opinion, and it is not anything to be angry about.
Now, those here behind us earlier told us these rallies will continue on in other U.S. cities. For now, we're live in Seattle. I'm Michael Spears, Cairo 7 News.
All right. Cairo 7 News in Seattle. Interesting, isn't it, that they voted yesterday, the city council, I think it was 7-1, to defund their police at least by, I don't have the figures in front of me. They didn't defund it by as much as they had hoped. In fact, that's why the one dissenter dissented, because he wanted, or she wanted, the name is totally asexual, I have no idea, wanted the police to be defunded by more. So that was the dissension. And so they have certainly cut the police budget, that I can say for sure. And meanwhile, Seattle continues. I just read this morning that there were more lootings in one of the beautiful areas of Seattle shopping, much like what happened in Chicago. And the people of Seattle, you know, they're pretty silent, aren't they? We don't hear much from them. And so, interestingly enough, this guy, Sean Foyt, who is a worship leader from California, we heard from him yesterday. I played a little bit of some of the things that he had to say. Yes, he started doing this on the beaches of California, but now he's moving to the cities that are most ravaged. And he did outdoor worship service in Portland just a few nights ago. I think it was Friday. We played parts of that for you. There were thousands of people there. And then he moved to Seattle on Saturday night, I believe it was. And so that's what happened. And you hear how they report it. You know, it's all about the masks. But it isn't all about the masks. It's about a move of God. And I have to say, this is something I personally have been praying for. And I've told you this. I am praying that God will bring revival in Antifa and in Black Lives Matter. I'm praying that he will move so mightily through someone or someones in those organizations that they will be transformed. That doesn't mean the organizations will stop. We saw this happen in the 60s and 70s with the Jesus movement, but we saw God's Spirit move. And because God's Spirit is moving, by the way, in case you hadn't noticed. And if you are missing it, if you are really safe in your pew, or if you're a pastor who's tried to lay low, you are missing the ride of your life as a believer in Jesus. If ever there was a time to be born and watch what's happening and the headlines and to rise to the occasion, it is now. This is a privilege. And we need to take this on in just the thrill of knowing God in a more intimate, powerful way. It's going to be worth every stripe, every loss, every sacrifice. It just will be. Well, Dr. Rick Scarborough joins me this morning. He's the founder of Vision America. I've known Rick for a long time. He's been on the battlefront for a long time. Rick, do you see a difference? Do you see the church beginning to wake up after you've been asking them to do this, challenging them for decades now? So what do you think?
Well, I would say to that, Sandy, in the first place, every point you made is spot on, and that's characteristic of your entire life. I'm seeing the beginnings of an awakening, isolated. I'm praying for much more, as I know you are. We are literally right now trying to get these pastors to come out of their closets and get on the front lines, because the only hope for reversing this is what you've mentioned, and that's what I like to refer to as the third great awakening. It's interesting, you're the first one I've heard say what I've been saying, and that's that the difference in what we saw when this movie came around the first time back in the 60s and 70s was the Jesus movement. And I believe that that was the redemptive quality that transformed millions of lives. And we've got to have something just like that again today. Without it, this country can't survive the efforts now to literally overthrow our government and overthrow our way of life. So the church, as it always has been, is God's solution.
Yes, and that's why it's under attack. I mean, if there, you know, I always say, like Rick, with I'll just use it in this context with my Jewish friends. One of the proofs of God is that they have survived at all as a people with any kind of identity, because they've been scattered all over the universe, and they should have been long gone, some lost, you know, civilization, but they are not, because they are God's people, even if they don't recognize that or quite understand what that means. And I would say that. We are God's people too, and God has got this. I'm not saying he's got saving our country, Rick. I'm not. I want to save our country. I'm trying, and I think I make no apologies for that. But God's got this. He's got his people, and he is gonna. You know he is. You know he's gonna be working in the lives of some of those people who are so wicked right now and lost, and they still have an ear for honesty and an ear and the ability to hear God speak. He's gonna call them. And we're going to see some incredible things. And that includes pastors. You know, I'm sorry, Rick, I'm all wound up. You're my guest, but I just want to say this. You know, when we had the Great Awakenings before, the two ones before, it always struck me, I was just reading some books on the Awakening recently, that the Awakening was called the Awakening because people knew about Jesus, but they were dead. They did not really know him as Lord of their life. They did not have the power of the Holy Spirit. And the awakening was like a jolt of energy, the visiting of the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about rolling on the floor, talking in tongues, although if that's it, I don't care. I'm happy to roll on the floor and talk in tongues, but I'm not talking theologically. I'm talking about a powerful move of the Spirit, yes. Which is what you're going for with these pastors, right?
An awakening. Right. You know, what your hearers need to be encouraged to know is, both of the previous Great Awakenings that this country has experienced came at the darkest hour. They came at times when it seemed like there was no hope for, in the first place, the birth of a great nation. In the second place, the salvation of a great nation because of slavery and the fact that the country was literally torn asunder. In both cases, God raised up preachers who spoke without fear or without restraint. And clearly conveyed the message of the gospel. And in both cases, God awakened the church and then transformed the society. And that's exactly where we are now. This country, you know, I'm 70 years old. This is hard for me to admit, Sandy, because we've known each other for a long time, and I've admired your incredible work through the years. But I've been at this a long time. And I lived through the radical 60s, and I lived at a time when, even as a preacher, I didn't see a hope for recovery for the country. And yet the Jesus movement, which was not an awakening on the par with the two great awakenings I'm alluding to, was what God used to bring this country back to normalcy, and millions of radicals were transformed, and churchgoers had their faith renewed. And that's what we're trying now with this effort that's coming up on August the 30th through September the 2nd. We're trying to call together the remnant of pastors who get it, who, like the sons of Issachar, understand the times and know what must be done. We're going to train them, educate them, and send them back to their respective fields of service and their sphere of influence, and hopefully begin spawning another great awakening.
Now, Rick, I am short on details, and I want to talk about the content of this conference because I kind of wish I were a pastor. I'd be down there. A lot of people that I know and trust and respect are going to be part of this. It's going to be a powerful, excuse me, meeting, but I don't have any details. Can you please tell me who you're inviting? Are you just inviting pastors?
Yes. Now, there'll be a few exceptions of that. If a person is a Christian leader and has a lot of influence, if we have the space, we'll accommodate. We have generous donors who are underwriting $1,000 per family that comes, or a single for that matter. These are rooms at the Gaylord Texan Resort Hotel. And if any of your hearers have ever been to one of the Gaylords, they know what a great facility it is. We're providing rooms and two meals a day for 3 full days for these pastors, beginning on Sunday night with a banquet in which Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick will speak, and then we'll flow through all day Tuesday, all day Wednesday. In both cases, they'll be released around 4 p.m. to be with their families and enjoy the grounds of that great resort. And then we'll wind it up with a half day on Wednesday. And as you alluded, we're bringing in experts in a number of fields of what we're facing in this country. There'll be an expert on Black Lives Matter. There'll be an expert on Antifa. There'll be experts speaking to the woke movement. This is a very relevant, we call it a boot camp for pastors. We've actually entitled it America at the Crossroads, a 911 call for pastors, patriot pastors in particular. We're trying to bring the choice men and women of God who understand the times and know what has to be done.
Okay, so how could they link with you, though? Where? How can they sign up? That's the part I just don't see. And
all right, I'll tell you what. I'm looking at the flyer. Let me pull up that link. You know what? I printed out the flyer, and it doesn't reveal what the link is. But let me make it easy. If they'll email me, and I'm giving my personal email address right now, rs@jonathanproject.org. rs@jonathanproject.org. I will then connect them to our, we've got a staff of people that are registering pastors. We have 200 spaces of which we started making this, pastors aware of this just a few days ago. And as of last night, there were about 50 spaces that had been taken. We actually have a donor that is even underwriting the $100 registration fee. We found that we almost have to charge something so pastors have skin in the game. But that $100 per pastor and $150 per couple is refunded if they'll, once they get online and go to the source, which I'll give them when they email me. They can then listen to an hour sermon by Steve Riegel, fill out a questionnaire of 6 questions, and have their registration fee refunded by one of our donors. So okay. It's free if they take the time to listen to a sermon, and Steve Riegel will be one of our speakers. It'll be time well invested.
Okay,
but
so
email me, rs@jonathanproject.org, and I'll get them fixed up.
Okay, that sounds great, Rick, and we'll put that on our Facebook page and hopefully the flyer as well. Now, let me just also mention, let me just run through these very quickly. You have a pastor, Dan Fisher. Some of these guys I don't know, but he's going to talk about the Black-Robed Regiment, which, of course, were the revolutionary pastors who got involved in the revolution and kind of instructed and helped us to understand how pastors need to actually be civically engaged and how much difference they made. Many people say that that's because of them that we won the revolution. And then you've got Trevor Loudon. Trevor's from New Zealand. He's a good friend of mine. He's an expert in Marxism, and he's going to be speaking. Rafael Cruz from Cuba, Ted Cruz's father, will talk about his testimony. Scott Lively, also a good friend of mine, he's going to be talking about 25 years of Antifa in America. He's a pastor and also an attorney. And Jack Hibbs is going to be talking about what's happening in California, which I spent a long time talking about this morning, Rick, already. But what do you hope to achieve by this?
Well, what we want to do is turn these pastors into men who can then train their friends. You know, there's a willful ignorance in the church today about these issues that in the minds of pastors just cropped up. But the people behind these movements have been working for decades in an effort to overthrow everything this country stands for. You know, socialism is Marxism without a gun. And we've been hearing a whole party now advocate for socialism. So this is not new. But the thing we've found is many pastors who focus on their flock and are busy trying to just make the church work these days with COVID-19 are not aware of the depth that these people are committed to overthrow our country. And so after they walk through these series of classes, and that's what they are, they last about 45 minutes apiece. We're not putting handcuffs on these speakers. They're experts in their field. They will speak. These pastors will be given prayer material. Every speaker will have all of his remarks either summarized or completely in a transcript form, so that when a pastor leaves, he'll have a working manual on these issues and hopefully begin enlightening their church and their friends of what we're facing in this country.
Hey, Rick, let me expand. I know you do believe this. It's not even, I won't even limit this to the saving of our country. This is an attack against the gospel. What does anybody think that the LGBT movement, that's not even a topic here, but it's an attack against God's design. This is at the heart of God. We are the enemy. And even if you don't want to fight, trust me, you're going to be the enemy. You will not be able to lay low. You're going to have to stand and declare, just like those people in that restaurant where Black Lives Matter were shouting at them, making them declare if they support Black Lives or not. They're just eating dinner. That's how it's going to happen. Rick Scarborough, rs@jonathanproject.org. America at the Crossroads, a 9/11 call for pastors.
The single most cited source of ideas in the founding era for the documents we have was the Bible.
Historian David Barton.
That doesn't sound like a godless constitution when your most cited source is the Bible.
Do you want to learn more about the biblical foundation of our nation's constitution? Watch God in the Constitution by David Barton from American Family Association's Cultural Institute. It's available on DVD at afastore.net.
Hundreds of teenagers destroyed the Fun Center in Memphis because broken machines took their money without letting them play the games. The Bible calls this behavior lawlessness. It shouldn't surprise us because the kids are just imitating what they've seen on the streets of our major cities. Our culture is teaching our kids it's okay to destroy private property and use violence to get what we want. We owe it to our kids to provide a better example. I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
Moses said, "I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned." My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. In the burning bush encounter, Scripture records that it began as Moses kept Jethro's flock. When the Lord saw that Moses turned aside to see, he called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses," and he said, "Here I am." Notice God didn't speak to Moses until he gave full attention to what God was trying to show him. Diligent attention to daily duty is necessary. We must be careful, however, not to allow duty to become an idol. Are our hearts still sensitive to God? Can God still get our attention?
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. The hostility against hydroxychloroquine by the deep state is hard to fathom unless foul motives such as greed are at play. HCQ is cheap and effective. Nations that embraced HCQ at the beginning have a 79.1% lower death rate than nations that rejected it. The deep state doesn't like it because their friends can't get rich off it like they will if they develop a vaccine. But the prospect of death can get a regressive's mind right. New York City Democrat Councilman Paul Vallone couldn't breathe, was very weak and in panic mode thinking he would die. Then his hospital prescribed HCQ. Within 3 days he could breathe and in a week he was back on his feet. He says, "It saved my life." How many other Paul Vallones could be saved if we stopped listening to the deep state?
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. At the start of the Chinese Communist Party's intensifying oppression of Hong Kong last June, President Trump sought advice on what he could do to punish the PRC and protect Americans from having their savings endangered by investing there. Unfortunately, he turned to Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin and other Wall Street insiders for answers. Last week, Mnuchin's so-called plunge protection team finally responded and predictably recommended basically doing nothing for at least the next 17 months. He hesitatingly admitted as much in a White House press conference yesterday. If Mr. Trump agrees, the CCP will continue to garner billions, if not actually trillions of dollars from U.S. capital markets. Wall Street fat cats will get richer on hefty commissions and help our enemy underwrite its oppression at home and threats to us. Mr. President, that would not be putting America first. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I've been appalled at on this violence because it's happening right out in the streets. Anyone with eyes can see what's happening. They see the violence. They see these groups of agitators in their black outfits and their helmets and their shields, which incidentally have hammer and sickle on them most of the time. Rushing the police, causing violence, throwing rocks, people showing up with the rocks and the frozen bottles. That's happening. That's happening in front of people. You don't see it on any of the national news. You don't see it on the networks. You don't see it on the other cable stations. And yet you hear about these peaceful demonstrators. So it's a lie. The American people are being told a lie by the media.
That was Attorney General Bill Barr in his interview with Mark Levin. Hey, you know what? We should post that entire interview on our Facebook page because he is a national treasure. Of course, so is Mark Levin. But they just an incredible interaction, and I think it would be very beneficial to hear that. And thank God he's Attorney General right now. And, you know, he knows, I know he knows. If President Trump should be defeated, Bill Barr will be, you know, he will be punished in more ways than he's already being punished. All of the people that support President Trump will be punished. I do merge politics and religion, faith, Christianity, and all kinds of faith all the time, because I believe that we love God with all of our mind, our heart, and our spirit, but all of our mind. It's everything. It's everywhere we look. God is in all things. He's in politics. He's in political parties. And I don't see things as separate. I've never quite understood that we can't talk about that or get involved in that because we're Christians. We can only get involved with this. Do we only read the Bible? Do we only watch, you know, religious television? I don't think so. I think you actually are watching other things and reading other things, aren't you? I'm not talking about bad things. I'm talking about just being aware of what's going on in the world. Who said in the world, whoever said that you should shut yourself off? That's kind of Catholic doctrine, where you'd go be a monk and isolate yourself and just dedicate yourself to prayer and devotion and not be polluted by the world. That's really not scriptural. God has called us to be in the world, but not of the world. And so I'm just saying, I'm flipping back and forth between the need to preserve the country and do the right thing, and also the role of the church in this culture. And I want to talk a little bit about that for a second. So A.G. Barr is talking about what's going on around the country, and I was just giving you a smattering of that earlier. In L.A., Antifa confronted black Trump supporters and called them, I don't know if I should say this word. I know I can't say the first word. It starts with an F. And the last word is starts with a C, O-O-N-S. That's what Antifa is calling black Trump supporters. We're having a lot of examples of them being incredibly racist. This is so twisted. Can you not see how twisted this is? This is wicked. And by the way, I want to say again, I'll be talking to Paul Kinger on Friday about his new book, The Devil and Karl Marx. Because the devil certainly is in the middle of all of this, and I think certainly reasonable black Americans know that too. Those that had sympathy with Black Lives Matter initially because of the theme, the slogan, of course, is very true. Of course, Black Lives Matter. And there has been mistreatment in this country, but now they're understanding, a lot of them, that this, what's happening on the streets and represented by this group, has nothing to do with Black Lives Mattering. They don't care about Black Lives. They want revolution, and they want a lot of other horrible things. In fact, in Chicago, they're looting. That we played a clip of it or a story about it yesterday. They devastated Michigan Avenue and the Million Dollar Mile, Gold Coast, we call it. More than 100 people arrested, thousands descending. The two people were shot. 13 police officers were injured. And it's just... It's a mess. Chicago's magnificent mile is magnificent, and it has been so pristine, and it has been such a safe place to be. I told you that yesterday. It's just heartbreaking. It's right off of Lake Michigan. It's just breathtakingly beautiful. So someone decided to take a camera along with her while she was looting these luxury stores, and I just thought you might want to just get a glimpse into the mind or, you know, the insights of a looter. Here it is. Let's listen.
Canada Goose is
yeah.
Oh, what's up? Y'all broke the thing? Hey, well, I want that windbreaker right there. You see it? You got to break that thing off. Oh, you got to pull these things off, didn't you?
Yeah, I just did.
How you do it?
You
got
to
smash that bit. Smash on the floor. You got to break that part. Watch out. Yeah, he's crazy.
All right, it goes on and on. I just don't need to listen anymore. They're having a really good time. They're looting, you know, Macy's, Apple, Nordstrom's, Best Buy, Coach, Gucci, Louis Vuitton. And at one point, the woman who's, you know, filming herself, you know, looting the store, yells, "I can't breathe," as she's, you know, looting this luxury clothing store. This, of course, is not civil rights protests. These are thieves. These are criminals taking advantage. Now, interestingly enough, Kim Fox, who's the prosecutor in Chicago, now she is one of George Soros's picks. You know, he loves these prosecutors. He has backed them. It was a carefully laid plan that they did in the last election cycle to get all these radical prosecutors. One of them is the son of one of the Weather Underground, his mother went to prison, and I can't think of his name in this moment, but he was raised by Bernadine Dornan Bilares, who I know well. I live in Chicago. They were the two leaders of the Weather Underground. Bernadine was certainly the leader. They are wicked beyond measure. They were really good friends with Barack Obama, by the way. But I'll get off track if I go down that path. But let me just say that their son, this bizarre leftist who wants anarchy and revolution, is now the prosecutor in San Francisco. We got Kim Fox in Chicago. We have others in Dallas, Philadelphia. Yeah. And so here's the story. There's a whole long study on this. Left-wing prosecutors overseeing Boston, Chicago, Dallas, Philadelphia, San Francisco have embraced soft-on-crime approaches. Well, that's kind of putting it mildly. Several top district attorneys vowed not to prosecute specific crimes as a matter of policy. We saw what happened in St. Louis. That's not listed here. That wasn't a chief prosecutor, but she's one of the Soros people, the one that is going after that couple that protected their home with their guns when they were under attack. I don't mean not physically yet, but surrounded and threatened by Black Lives Matter protesters. So super PACs backed by billionaire George Soros are major funders for several left-wing prosecutors taking a soft-on-crime approach. And to be real specific here, in Chicago, Kim Fox has already dropped 25,183 felony cases. So that includes murderers, that includes Jussie Smollett, you know, for his hate crime hoax. He's been dismissed. She's dropped, I was trying to see what these other crimes are, but it just says 25,183 felonies. Okay, so they're out on the streets right now. What do you think they're doing? And at the same time, we're seeing reports that police are not so keen on going into neighborhoods and protecting people now. In New York Police Department, now I have not read this story, so I'm not prepared to declare the details, but the headline is that the NYPD cops didn't lift a finger as an 11-year-old is beaten in broad daylight. My impression of this is that it's a dangerous neighborhood, and when the police started to go in, the police say they were attacked by bottles and objects, and so they just did not press it, and so this little 11-year-old girl was beaten. And they watched that happen. I've heard of other places where the police are standing down as well. What do you expect? And that brings me back to pastors. Now listen to me, pastors. These are your people. The policeman, the little girl getting beaten, the people losing their jobs, the people who wake up in the neighborhoods scared out of their minds at night, the people who are barely making ends meet because their livelihood has been taken away from them. These are your parishioners. You cannot hide behind sitting 6 feet apart and wearing masks and thinking you're doing your civic duty. You can't do that anymore. People need you. Your congregation needs you. They need you to man up, and they need you to take your responsibility no matter what it costs. Did you get into this for comfort? I know you didn't. Many of you have already. Those of you that are serious about the gospel have probably had kind of a rough go. It's hard to be a pastor. And I know I'm talking to some of you who've already taken some licks. But some of you, it's just not deep enough. It just doesn't. The power of the Spirit is not felt in your word and your actions. It's not a serious thing for you. And we can see that because you're doing nothing. And so I'm just saying, it is time to awaken. Either get out and go sell cars or something, or get serious about preaching and about taking care of your people who are hurting. They need you to get real. And it's time to get real. I want to give you an example. This is from David Lane. I wish I could think of his American Renewal Project. That's the name of his organization. And he shared a story that I want to share with you about William Penn, who was a pastor He was a pastor during the Revolutionary War. And he tells the story of this pastor. And I'm going to find it. It's here. Yes, it is. Okay, good. All right. And now I want to read the story to you. Can I do that? Because I think it'll give perspective. Kind of merges, you know. After arriving October 27th, 1682 in Newcastle, now in Delaware, William Penn, who was born in 1644 and died in 1718, would become an early advocate of democracy and religious freedom in America. He founded the province of Pennsylvania, the British North American colony that became the U.S. state of Pennsylvania. The principles that he set forth served as an inspiration for the U.S. Constitution. Although born into a distinguished Anglican family and the son of Admiral Sir William Penn, Penn Jr. joined the Religious Society of Friends of Quakers, Society of Friends or Quakers, at the age of 22. The Quakers obeyed their inner light, that's in quotes, which they believed to come directly from God, refused to bow or take off their hats to any man, and refused to take up arms. The Quakers were suspect because of their principles that differed from the state and imposed religion, and because of their refusal to swear an oath of loyalty to Cromwell or the king. Quakers obeyed the command of Christ to not swear. Excuse me. Regarding government, Penn was of the divine opinion that if thou wouldst rule well, then thou must rule for God, and to do that, thou must be ruled by him. Those who will not be governed by God will be ruled by tyrants. After having been imprisoned in the Tower of London from 1668 to 1669 on an accusation of heresy, Penn was arrested in 1670 on Gracechurch Street in London for giving a sermon to a group of Quakers in the street in front of his church. London officials had locked the hall and forbidden Penn to preach in any building, so he took his sermon to the streets. Charged with unlawful, tumultuous assembly that disturbed the king's peace, he was summoned to stand trial. Quakers were not recognized by the government as essentials in 17th century England and thus were forbidden to meet in any building for the purpose of worship. In Penn's trial, the jury refused to declare a guilty verdict, and the judge, furious, ordered them back to reconsider. When the jury returned with not guilty, the judge demanded a verdict that the court will accept, for you shall be locked up without meat, drink, fire, and tobacco. We will have a verdict by the help of God, or you will starve for it. Three more times the jury went out, only to return with the same verdict. Finally, they refused to go out anymore, and the judge fined each of them and ordered them imprisoned until the fine was paid. Later, a writ of habeas corpus won freedom for the jurors. The First Amendment of the United States Constitution protects the right to religious freedom and freedom of expression from government interference. It prohibits the establishment of a national religion, impeding the free exercise of religion, curtailing the freedom of speech, hampering the freedom of the press, and interfering with the right to peaceably assemble. It was the Bill of Rights adopted in 1791. And so, let me just say, we've been abandoning the public square for about 100 years. And we've been relegated to sort of an unimportant position because we've been unserious people about our roles in this culture of being salt and light. I'm not talking about, you know, pushing a party. I'm talking about pushing what's right and what's wrong. And right now, there's a lot wrong. Stand and rise for the occasion, will you? Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.